Grace to you and peace on this beautiful New Year's Eve as we conclude a beautiful year behind us of God's faithfulness and look forward to a great new year to come in the days to which we're headed. God's grace and his mercy and his peace with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to talk with you about a shakedown that we see in Scripture. A shaking up and a shaking down. Have you ever heard of a shakedown in Holy Scripture? Well, what is it? When is that shakedown? How could we describe it? What is its purpose? Are there other shakedowns that happen through Scripture? And when the shakedown comes, will you be found standing or falling? Let's take a look tonight at the great shakedown of Scripture, which God speaks to us about, and also why I think, as a shepherd, this is a great passage for us to take a look at as we head into a brand new horizon of a fresh year with our Lord. Well, first of all, what is it? The great shakedown. Where is that? Well, let's take a look over here in Hebrews chapter 12. Did you guess that one? Hebrews chapter 12, one of the last sets of verses here. We read, "His voice then shook the earth, but now his promise, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." So there's a shakedown in Scripture, amen? But what on earth are we talking about here? What does this mean? Well, first of all, we notice that there are two shakedowns, right? Look at this again. His voice then shook the earth. What's that? The past. Shakedown number one. Yet, now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. What's that? Shakedown number two in the future, right? So we have two shakedowns. What are they? What are these shakedowns of Scripture? Well, let's look at this again. His voice then shook the earth. That's the first of them. Whose voice shook the earth and when? What are we talking about here? Well, if you go back to the verse previous to this, when we read, "See that you don't refuse him who is speaking. For if they didn't escape who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." Who is the person warning the first time? If you know this verse from Hebrews 12, we can go back in context a little more to Hebrews 12, verse 18. "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and a sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers entreat that no further messages be spoken to them." What is this from Scripture? The giving of the law on Mount Sinai through Moses. That was the first shaking, okay? Now, did the earth really shake the first time at the visit of the Lord when he gave the law to mankind through Moses? Well, let's take a look over here at Exodus 19. You better believe it was a shaking. We read here, Exodus 19, verse 17 and following. "Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain quaked greatly." Wow. I mean, can you imagine that place? The whole place is rocking and rolling. Not really proper to use that term, but it was really rumbling there when God came down with Moses. So that's the first shaking. And why did the earth shake, do you think, when God came down in the days of Moses? Because God came down in the times of Moses. His very presence makes the earth shake when he visits it. And so that's why the earth shook the first time. How about a second shaking? What are we talking about there? His voice then shook the earth at the giving of the law, but now he has promised yet once more in the future, "I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." What is that, Vivian? You said it. Huh? The end times and the last day at the very end when God a second time will personally visit the earth. And when he does, there will be a great shaking, not only on the earth, but in the heavens above. Why will there be a great shaking? Because number one, his presence. When he arrives, wherever he goes, there is a great shaking because he is so powerful. The shaking was also to put the people into fear, as there will be fear back then in the days of Moses, as there will be at the last day. But what was the real purpose of the shaking that will be in the time to come? Let's read that next verse. His voice then shook the earth. But now he's promised, yet once more I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, as of what has been made, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain. So why is God going to come and shake the earth one more time at the end of time? A great shakedown. Sift, that was a good word. Like a great sieve. To find out what is true and cannot be shaken will remain. That which is not secured will fall away. Now, when I used to sail on the ships like the schooners, like the Spirit of Massachusetts and the Caribbean, we had things that we would do called shakedown cruises. You ever hear of that? I think Dick has heard of that one, right? And Jeff, a shakedown cruise is when you go to sea on your ship and you set all of your sails. Mind you, this is a mighty big ship. This is 125 feet, lots of power, and you set it on a blustery day when the waves are out. And you do it, why? See what breaks. You've got it, Neil. So you want to see what's true and genuine and what is weak and falling away. What is secure and what's not secure. What's true and what's not true on your ship so that you can fix it, hopefully, before you really get into a storm. So we went out one day from Puerto Rico, and it was a blustery day and a mighty sea, and we set every sail on this ship. And we go charging through the water such that we're putting the entire ship underwater, basically, on the leeward side. 3 feet of water on the deck, washing across. And we're just charging through the ocean. We had not done that for about 5 minutes before, bang, goes the jib topsail sheet. And the sail flaps violently, and we have to get that down. That was also quite dangerous. And then as soon as that was secured, bang, goes the forward fore topsail sheet, which is way up about 70 feet. That sail's flailing around, destroying itself. We had to send some people up to secure that one. We looked up at the mainsail, and that was about to bang and go as well, the main topsail. So we took that one down ahead of time. But a shakedown cruise is something that'll scare you to pieces because you're checking out what is going to remain and be steadfast and what is going to fall away. You know, we do the same thing when we go to the beach, right? You get a towel, and you get out there, and you swim, and then you roll around the sand, you get on this thing, and when you finally get up to go back to your car, what do? You shake it out, so that, see, that was not necessary anymore. I did not need that piece of paper. It need not remain. It is no longer necessary. But we shake out all of that sand so we don't carry it back, but what is true to this, namely, the fabric remains and we carry it away. So when there's a shakedown, there is a judgment. You could also liken it to this, like when you're panning for gold, you know, out there in the West, and you, there we go. You go and you take the stuff off the riverbed, and then you put it in here and you start shaking it around. What's going to fall away? Is all of the dust, all of the dirt, all of the sand, it's just coming out through the bottom. You're straining out the dirt. And what are you looking for to keep? You're looking to keep the gold. What remains when there is the shaking. And here, now you're rich. You've got what is really genuine that you're after. Well, what God is saying is that once when he visited the earth, he shook it. The second time he comes, at the last day, he's going to shake it again. And what a great shaking that will be. So that what is false, what is not secured, what is not in Jesus Christ, will all fall away like this dirt and be washed and swept away. But what will remain will be those things that are true in Jesus, the gold, which is ultimately you, Jesus and his kingdom. What is going to be shaken away at the end of time at Jesus's God's second visit to the earth? His voice then shook the earth, but now he's promised, yet once more I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. So what's going to be shaken? The earth and the heavens. So the whole creation is going to tremble. We read when he opened the sixth seal in Revelation 6, I looked, says John, and behold, there was a great earthquake, great shaking. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. So are the natural elements of the earth and the skies, are they going to remain at the coming of the Lord? The sky vanished like a scroll that's rolled up, and every mountain and island shall be removed from its place. That's just going to be dirt at that day. What else will be shaken out? Wicked men. We're dealing with a lot of wicked men these days, villains on the earth. But Job 38 says, God says, have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it may take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? So what does God do? He takes this towel and he just shakes it, and out come the wicked to be dispatched forever. Also, all the works of man shall not survive and prevail and remain through the second shaking. The day of the Lord, says Peter, will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a loud noise, bang, like the jib topsail sheet. And the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. So buildings, ships, structures, bridges, everything that man has made will not survive the shakedown. And then also we said the heavens and the earth. It's not just the sun and the moon and the sky. Because we read in Isaiah 13, therefore God says, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And on that day the Lord will punish the host of heaven in heaven, and the kings of the earth on the earth. So what are we talking about? When God's going to shake not only the earth, but also the heavens, not only the sun and the moon and the stars, but all the spiritual realms. So all of these wicked things that we're dealing with these days, villains on earth and villains in high places and spiritual realms, they also will be shaken on that day, such as they've never been shaken before. And those that are not in Jesus Christ and his kingdom shall fall away. This is good news for us. For on that day, he'll punish the host of heaven in heaven, the kings of the earth on the earth. They'll be gathered together as prisoners in a pit. They'll be shut up in prison and be punished. And the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And before his elders, he will manifest his glory. So let me ask you, at the great shakedown that's coming on the day soon to come at our Lord's return, what will remain?
His saints.
His saints. Namely, Jesus Christ cannot be shaken. His kingdom cannot be shaken. His people, his saints, cannot be shaken, and their works will not be shaken. They will survive the shakedown. Will you survive the shakedown? You will. You're in Christ. We read the next line here in Hebrews 12. Therefore, let's be grateful to God for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He's coming on the clouds of heaven, and you in the kingdom like gold shall remain on that day, because you're in Jesus Christ. But a great shakedown is coming. Let me ask you a question. Have there been other shakedowns through the history of the world where God shakes the wicked out and the righteous remain? I can think of the Old Testament. Remember when Korah thought he would exalt himself and rebel against Moses and try to cast Moses out and become the captain over Israel? There was a great shaking on that day. Remember? The earth shook, there was a great earthquake, and it opened its mouth, and Korah and all of his family and his comrades in rebellion went down alive into Sheol and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And what was unworthy fell away, and the true, namely Moses and Aaron, remained. That's pretty scary, isn't it? But there's shakedowns. There was a shakedown in Jesus' day, if you will, when he was preaching. He had multitudes, thousands following him. And he says, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You're following me just for bread. And he says, don't labor for that food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. And then he said, I am the bread of heaven. What happened at that point? The multitudes get shaken, and they begin to question. How can this man give us his bread, his flesh to eat, they say. And then Jesus basically says, you like that one? Try this one on for size. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And what happens at that point? A great shaking, even more. And they all fell away. They started to depart. They no longer followed him. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And they all deserted him, save he was left with the 12. Only they remained, and one of them was a devil, but that was for God's purposes. But you notice how, once again, there's a shaking in history with Jesus. And there's a shaking also, you could say, in our times. Because if you look at what's happened in this last year, think about, we used to have mega churches, right? Tens of thousands of people attending worship and such events. This plandemic or pandemic, however you want to call it, right, Art, came on the world, and there was a great shaking. We see people departing from the faith, leaving churches, absenting themselves from the assembly, others remaining. Is this a shakedown that's going on in our day? What do you think? The true will remain, the false fall away. Reminds me of a Siberian church I heard of once where there were about 100 people worshiping in secret. It's against the law. But the KGB then knocked on the doors. Open up, this is the KJB. KGB. And open up, you filthy Christians. And they broke in. You're in violation of the law. Now, every one of you in here has 1 minute to get out or we start shooting. And we're going to shoot you where you stand. Well, 80 of the people got up and ran out right away. After another 40 seconds, 10 more got up. Then two more. And finally, they're left with 8 people remaining. And they stayed, and the KGB closed the doors. And what happens? They put down their guns and say, now let us worship together. We found the true Christians. Right? So there's a shakedown that's going on in our world today. Are you going to stand in the midst of this next year in this shakedown? Will you stand or fall in the coming shakedowns and in the final shakedown? Well, how are we going to stand? How are you going to stand through this next year if it ends up being stormy? If it ends up being rough? How are you going to do it? The answer is we got to secure ourselves all the more in Jesus Christ, in his kingdom, and in his word. For these things cannot be shaken, friends. And when you stand in the Lord, you can laugh at all of your enemies. You can laugh at the time to come. You will triumph and be fixed and forever immovable. You know, so much of our society these days are supports that are giving way. We used to lean on the government. Can we trust that anymore? That seems to be shaking. We used to lean on the medical community. That seems to be shaking. We used to lean on the entertainment and the sports. That seems to be shaking and falling away. Or in corporations, they're betraying us. And the church, by and large, has been forsaking us. We've seen in other denominations, especially, some crazy things going on. Transgender bishops, drag queen pastors. It reminds me of that hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. So in the year to come, what I'm saying to you as your shepherd is let's get our anchor fixed all the more securely in Jesus Christ. You are already fixed in him, but we need to be diligent to be in that ever more so. You know, when I was in Maine on another schooner, we were waiting for a great storm to come up the coast and slam Maine, the coast there. We didn't just hang out in the middle of the river, but we ran into, you know this, Lynn? Pulpit Harbor. Oh, yes. On North Haven. Why is that a great harbor, Lynn? Totally protected, 360 degrees around, a good mud bottom. Your anchor holds there. It will never let go. And we'd run in there when there was a terrific storm, and we just rest secure. Easy. You can laugh at the wind and enjoy it because you are well anchored, and you'll remain ever fixed. You're not going anywhere. My word to you tonight is you are in Jesus Christ. You are more than conquerors through him who loved you. Every storm that's coming against you, with them is just the arm of flesh. With you is the arm of God. We've got the best anchor in the world, but let's make sure that we hold fast to it all the stronger. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will never fail you. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hadst formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God is. Thou art the same. Thy years will never end. Before Abraham was, I am. I, the Lord, do not change, God says. So this year, be diligent to be all the more after Jesus Christ and knowing him in faith. Be fixed in his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Amen? It's never going to fail you. Rather than our phones and every entertainment, let's dive into this word as our New Year's resolution and secure ourselves in an anchor that will never fail, which we very well may need in the days to come to secure us in the coming shakings and shakedowns in the world. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And let's secure ourselves in the kingdom of God. For we thank God for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Where is our anchor fixed in the storms that may come in the days to come? In heaven, in Jesus Christ, in his shed blood, in his wondrous gospel, that you are justified before God by his grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And fixed in him, you don't have anything to worry about. You know, when we were anchored in Pulpit Harbor, come whatever storm comes, I don't care, because I'm firmly fixed in a safe place. You are. Let's forevermore be firmly fixed in a safe place and get there, especially in the pleasant weather. Because if there are any shakedowns coming, if there are any falling barometers in the world, as there seems to be, we need to get there and be strongly fixed in it now and secure everything before the winds would blow. Hopefully the winds will not blow, but either way, it's good to be in the harbor. And Kretzmann, Lutheran commentator on this passage, says, thus the author of Hebrews lays upon all believers the greatest obligation to live a godly life and not to let the saving faith in Jesus leave their hearts. Will that be your resolution this year? Let's be firmly fixed in it. And here is the great news. We're the ship. Jesus is the anchor. The chain down to the anchor is faith. And we lay hold of Christ strongly this year. But the good news is also the anchor has a chain coming up to the ship called grace. And it's really the anchor that's holding you fast rather than you holding fast to the anchor. Both are together, faith and grace. But our strength comes from that Jesus Christ will keep you, sustain you, and strengthen you. Yes, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants, God says, it is I who keep steady its pillars. The nations may rage, the kingdoms totter. I will utter my voice, the earth will melt, the shakedown, but the righteous shall never be moved. I will remember him forever. That person is never not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He'll not be afraid until he sees his desire on his adversaries. All the wicked that you're concerned about or fearing today, they're just dirt. It's going to go away very quickly. You shall remain and stand fast in Jesus Christ, in his word, and in his kingdom. So we take great pleasure tonight that God always leads you in triumph. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the last day. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Come with me, my people, through this new year, and I'm going to show you great and marvelous things. And at the end, you'll stand fast and look to be and give all the praise. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom, friends, that cannot be shaken. And let's offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire, says the scripture. Amen.